We had a lot of activity here today, and we saw our children, how they have been promoted. And with that, we are saying we acknowledge that our children are growing up, and that they are, and that they will now be in a higher class to be taught God's Word more in depth. That's good. I want to congratulate all the boys and girls for stepping up to the next level. You now have the privilege of memorizing longer verses. And that's good. Because the more we memorize, the closer we, or the more we know about what God wants for us. The passage that Brother Daniel just read, it says that a young man can keep his way pure when he hangs on to the Word of God. And he read four verses out of Psalm 119, and I'd like just to make a comment about Psalm 119. Do you know that out of the 176 verses in Psalm 119, every verse separately mentions the Word of God? I'll just reread those three verses, and you'll notice that. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I will seek you with all my heart. Do not stray from your, and do not let me stray from your commandments. Both are referring to the word of God. Verse 11. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Again, that word. And then your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Every one of the verses in Psalm 117 has mention of the Word of God. And 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The NIV puts it this way, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. This verse, you may be used to speak to children, but it also is certainly addressed to young people and to adults. This being promotion, and Bob chose some beautiful songs about promotion. And I want to talk about promotion in life. Every aspect of life has its promotions. Sunday schools have annual promotions where the children enter into more advanced classes each year, and schools promote the children, youth, and adults into the next phase of their education. In fact, all of life is spotted with promotions, whether school or work or relationships. A boy and a girl suddenly... I suddenly see someone through different eyes, and it advances to in their closer relationship, to engagement, to marriage. And then throughout the marriage, there are promotions as you grow in your love relationship. Those are definitely promotions. Many have told me of the joy of such promotions, and I'll account for that. Almost 52 years, and Lawrence Matilda, 53 years, and others even more have... I will acknowledge there are promotions in marriage. By the way, promotions almost always come either through a challenge, by our challenge, or with a challenge. And we have many examples in Scripture of promotions. And I'll only use one or two to illustrate that point. Scripture being this full, it would... be correct to say that experience, learning, and promotion are almost synonymous. David was promoted from a shepherd boy to a king. That was no easy feat. These promotions were years in coming. Promotion sometimes can come with uncomfortable baggage. When the prophet Samuel received the message that from God to go to Jesse's place in Bethlehem and anoint one of Jesse's sons as king of Israel, he had seven sons of Jesse's come by. It was not Eliab, the oldest, even though he is tall and handsome, according to 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. Next came Abinadab, not the one. Then came Shammah, not him either. Seven sons came by, but God told him that none of these was the one. Jesse and Samuel had similar thoughts. It had to be one of the older boys, but it was not. It was the youngest one, David. The young lad, according to chapter 17, was called from his job of herding the family sheep. Now, can you imagine taking care of the family sheep and then becoming king? Quite a promotion. And then when David came, God said, "Rise and anoint him. He is the one." God promoted him into kingship, but there had to first come a number of promotions before he would be ready to take over the kingship of Israel. He had to pass a number of tests. His first test was to fight Goliath, a guy 9 feet, 3 inches tall. And here's this young shepherd boy, which was preceded by scoffing of his oldest brother. Eliab laughed at him. "Come on, you guy, get out of here." Remember Eliab, whom God had rejected as king? Then Goliath scoffed at him. He gently led in David's promotion. Another promotion, a test. David had to establish a close relationship with Jonathan, the son of King Saul. There was reason for that. Later, that became David's rescue again and again. A third promotion. As a reward for victory over Goliath, King Saul gave him a high rank in the army. Well, that sounds fair, but this young man? Why? David had to learn what it meant to be given a promotion by learning how to manage an army of men. Another, the fourth one. He had to learn to take victory and to take jealousy. You know, there's a learning process. His life was in danger. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 9 to 11, David was a gifted man. He had learned to play the harp while herding the sheep, and now that seemed to gall King Saul. So he threw a spear at David. These were not easy tests for David, but they were promotions. And then King Saul starts conniving to get rid of David. He offers him his daughter Merab to be his wife, as he had promised for that victory. Meanwhile, he was planning, it says, to put David into the battle against the Philistines. Who could possibly get rid of David? And he wouldn't have to. Then what did he do? He gave Merab to another man. When the day came for the wedding, he gave her to another man. Those are not easy tasks for David. He had to work for that. He had to learn what that meant. And throughout life, there are many examples of David. You read that story. I won't go through all of them. But you know the life of David, how often he had to flee from King Saul. And yet David was so gracious to King Saul, knowing that he was in line for the position of king. David waited for God to lead him on to that promotion. These tests are not easy on the way to receiving promotion. Life may throw curves at us as well. When we trust as David did, God will always find a way that is best for us. The Christian life itself is a promotion. Think of the day you accepted Jesus Christ. as your Savior. That was a huge promotion. What happened when you accepted Jesus? We could say we were lifted from the devil's bondage into God's kingdom of freedom. We could say we were promoted from life of misery to a life of joy and peace. From a blasphemer to a worshiper of God. And then throughout our Christian journey, we go from one promotion to another. One goal in life has new meaning. We go from one victory to another as the Lord's strength. We are able to put aside one sin after another, one temptation after another. And as we study God's word, we begin to see that we serve the Lord. It's one way of saying thanks to God for setting us free. Sunday school teachers, you are serving tremendously well. There's a point for you in service for God. That is a privilege God gives us. And then we're surprised. Not only do we enjoy that, but we become good at it. Well, that's a gift from God. It's not our doing. God is teaching us, and he's using us. And we become good at it. And that's good for greater praise to God. That brings with it tremendous blessings from the Lord. It becomes a joy to see how the Lord is using us. How people gain victory because we allowed God to use us in giving counsel. By the way, none of these promotions come easy. Repeatedly, Satan will throw traps and stumbling blocks in our paths so that, like King David, we run for our lives, during which time the Lord is our constant companion. Sometimes we are ready to give up. Don't. The better way is to spend much time in studying God's word and spending much time in prayer. About the situation before us, praying to the Lord and being open and honest before him, asking him to show us what it is that he wants us to do. Just as a little aside here, an example, we had a struggle with a certain neighbor, and then I woke up at 5 a.m. I could not sleep. And I kept on praying and praying, and finally, around 6 o'clock, I fell asleep. That day, the neighbor came over, and we could talk it through. That was important, to spend that time in prayer. Had I not spent that time in prayer, who knows what I might have said or done? Have you ever found yourself in such a situation? God keeps your mouth shut sometimes. And that's good. More often than not, it requires that we have to admit we've done things or said things that hurt someone. And then prayerfully go to that person and ask for forgiveness. It's always right to ask forgiveness when we have done something wrong to someone. That's what the Bible says. But years ago, I came across a verse, and that hit me like a ton of bricks. It said, what Jesus says, Jesus goes much further and personal than that. In Matthew 5:23-24, Jesus says that if you and I become aware of the fact that someone has something against us, what are we supposed to do? It's not that I may have done something wrong, but somebody has something against us. It's up to me to go and get things right. What? Does that make sense? If I do something wrong, I'm supposed to go to you and ask you for forgiveness. If I notice that you have something against me, it's up to me to go make that thing right. It's always up to me. I can never expect it's up to the other person to come and make things right. It's my job before God to always take the first step. And you know what Jesus adds to that? He actually says, if you are going to be worshiping God, you're in your own private time, and then you remember that, he says, stop. First go and get things right. Then come back. And then you can worship. And just before that, Jesus taught his disciples the Lord's Prayer. And what was in that prayer? Forgive us our sin. How? As we forgive the next person. Just think of that for a moment. If you or I have sinned, or someone has sinned, we are to forgive. If we don't forgive, Jesus says, I won't forgive you either. That's what he says right after the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 5. And that is sometimes more than we would like to read. But this is what it says. I'm sorry, it's chapter 6, the Lord's Prayer, not chapter 5. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Whoa. And then James chapter 4, verse 17 says what? Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. Ooh. That is beyond description. That too is a step forward in my relationship with the Lord, and it is called a promotion. It's part of the school of learning. Such spiritual experiences that cause us to grow closer to the Lord are promotions. And some promotions come with fear and trembling. Others seem to just fall into our lap. Those are the ones the Lord just drops into our lap. We may think, why is this happening to me? It's just a love gift from God. When we have tried so hard. And sometimes we may feel, I don't deserve this promotion. Accept it. It is a gift from God. Rejoice that you are in such close relationship with the Lord when he rewards you like that. These gifts may give you peace for which you have no explanation. It may be a position for service. It may be a renewed friendship that has become distant. Those are promotions. And as we walk through life, through the Christian life, from one promotion to another, there is one promotion no one hearing my voice has ever yet experienced. But everyone wants to. Do you know which one that is? That's still to come. We will be ushered into heaven. Into the very presence of Jesus in glory. That's a promotion, I'll tell you. That's a promotion I'm looking for. And one songwriter puts it well, and you know it from memory. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. while we wait, there's work to do. There are souls to save. There are relationships to mend. There are believers who need to hear the word. There are people who need a gentle touch. There are children who need to be pointed in the right direction, which first of all falls into the responsibility of the parents, and then in addition to that, the Lord has directed people to set up Sunday school and camp work and Bible camps and so on, so that children can hear the word. And to be part of that is a privilege. And that becomes part of our promotion. This morning, I would like to ask a number of people to come up here onto the platform. I don't know all the names because I don't know who they all are. But anyone who works in the Sunday school, whether teaching or anything else, some work in the background, like Megan and Megan, both of them, and others, those who collect the money, those who, whatever they do, would all of you come forward and stand over here, please? I want to pray for you. All of the Sunday school teachers and workers, superintendents, treasurers, whatever. A nice group of people, isn't it? Teaching our kids. Teaching our grandkids. I want to ask another group to come forward. Next week, Bible camps are opening up. And we have a number of people who will be working in camps. I know not everybody is here, but all those who will be working in camp, in a Bible camp this summer, would you also come up? Anybody working in a Bible camp? Support staff of any kind? Okay. Would the Sunday school teachers move over a little bit? There. And a little more yet. Camp workers on this side. Move over a little more. Now I have another question. All those who are teaching Sunday school, but who will also be working in some camp this summer, will you come and stand in the middle? Oh, we don't have duels here. I thought there might be some. Gerald would like to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, Rachel, your daughter. Okay, there are a number missing here, but would you pass this on to your fellow workers for the summer or for the teaching coming next fall? And before we do pray, I have a question for those who will be teaching the Word of God or counselors or whatever. For those, I have this question. Are you prepared, with the help of God, to teach the Word of God truthfully and faithfully, to pray for, and as the Holy Spirit leads you, to talk to each of your pupils throughout the year, or campers that God has entrusted into your care? If you are ready to do that, those who will be teaching, say yes. I don't think they heard that.
Yes.
Will all of you answer in unison? I want to hear it loud.
Yes.
Okay. I have now a word for the helpers and other workers who work behind the scenes. Will you, with the help of God, administer your duties faithfully, honestly, and prayerfully, assisting the others as God enables you? Then answer also with a yes. I don't know who all the workers are behind the scenes, but you know. Now I have a question for the congregation. As often As the Lord reminds you about one of these workers, will you pray for them? And will you occasionally verbally encourage them? If you are prepared to do that, would you stand? Thank you. Just to remain standing. Isn't that beautiful? They will pray for you. Everyone. You can now speak the word of God with his power behind you. And when you prepare, pray that it will be for God's mercy reaching down to someone, some heart. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, your word is precious. Your word is powerful. Your word tells us so much about you. And the Bible calls you the Word. You are the truth, the life, and the way. And as each of these standing before us has someone in their care, may they experience your blessing, your leading, and as they prayerfully submit themselves to you for the task before them, we pray that many souls will be won for Jesus. The teachers have worked hard in the past year, and as they take a break for the summer from the teaching, may they not take a break of service to you. And the camp workers, as they step out the work that they have been preparing for some time already, give them a sensitivity to the children, a love for the children, and as they share the word, may that shared word of love and of Jesus reach into their hearts, and may many boys and girls come to know Jesus. And thank you for a congregation that commits themselves to prayer. And as they pray, and as they give words of encouragement to these workers, may your Spirit lead them in that. May it lift up the name of Jesus, so that one day we can all be promoted together into your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.